You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
The following is an exclusive presentation of Team 600 ESPN El Paso.
When I first met you, I fell in love with you on the inside. You're so beautiful inside and out.
All right, we are live. It is Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box. We're being streamed live currently by Inspo Lens. Big shout out to Chris. Music you're hearing right now is done by him as well. Check him out, Apple Music. Check him out, Spotify, on Inspo Lens as well. That received a laugh by George Guajardo. No laughs from us over here. Sal Montes makes his own music.
We do it all back here.
We're versatile over here on Minor Talk. Just like David Terrell Jr., who's versatile and who sliced it up today. Big shout out to him. We got a lot to jump into the program here today on Minor Talk. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. It is an absolute full house. George Guajardo, our fall intern. Alberto Reta, Zay Galindo, Sal Montes. We made a fantasy draft yesterday for UTEP basketball. Yesterday was doom and gloom for UTEP basketball. Today, much lighter for this UTEP basketball squad. They just come off a dominant victory against Long Beach State, 70-44. And this game was a game. I mean, it was 19-19. Long Beach State, the beach, by the way. I want to start using that term the whole show. The beach. The beach was up almost the entire first 10 minutes of the game. And then the Miners rallied back. I mean, it was 19-19. UTEP used an 18-4 run to close out the half and really never looked back. It was absolutely dominant for the Miners, completely different from yesterday. They didn't shoot particularly well, but this is the recipe to success, Sal. They don't have to rely on the shooting all the time, but what you can see is when shooting is not working, they lean on their defense, and if they're as good as they were tonight and as confident with their shots as they were tonight, just go to the free throw line, win it like that. And the Miners separated themselves in this game and let their defense do all the talking.
They're so athletic, too, and it's great when they're able to use that athleticism out in transition. They're likely going to finish at the cup if they could get a quick step or two on the other team, but also forcing fouls or getting fouls forced on them, right? Being able to get to the free throw line. They're a lot more respectable this year than in years past. Tonight, not overly impressive, but tonight was a night where that didn't really matter too much. But when the half-court game is basically non-existent for them, you want to see them use their athleticism for sure.
So this is a special one-hour edition of Minor Talk. We're going to take calls as long as we can here for the next hour, and then we're going to get you ready for tomorrow's game. UNC Greensboro is on deck for the Miners to close out the Ball Dogs Classic. We welcome onto the program Zay Galindo for the first time. Zay, yesterday it was a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of conversations, hard conversations here on this program about red flags here in the future for UTEP basketball. But we start off the show today talking about a dominant UTEP victory here.
Yeah, very dominant one. And, you know, we talked about those red flags because it was needed. You know, these were much needed conversations, and it was nice to get them out there. And I don't know if they were listening to the show last night because they responded really well, right? They shot the ball somewhat pretty well, right? 7-21 from three, but just a lot more energy this time around. And, you know, at the end of the day, Long Beach State or, you know, the beach, they just aren't that good at, you know, I'll say that, but UTEP played good, and you can't hate on them for that. They forced 27 turnovers. I mean, that is UTEP basketball at its best.
Yeah, 27 turnovers right there, and it felt like they got 19 turnovers right away. Like, in the early part of the second half, this game was – they already racked up those double-digit turnovers against Long Beach State. So credit to the UTEP defense. They really stepped up today. Alberto, man – we talked about, or we previewed it, the fantasy draft that we're doing right now for UTEP men's basketball. And your stock is all the way through the roof because it wasn't just David Terrell Jr., but you even get some bonus points thanks to Baylor Hebb to close out the game.
Yeah, I'm definitely bullish on my team. I feel great now. I'm watching these games with just a teeny bit level of excitement added and like interest added. Now I feel like the exact same feeling I feel when I watch when I watch football now, right? Because I have fantasy implications involved. But yeah, definitely all my guys get involved. What I really like from this team, though, Long Beach State held to only four offensive rebounds, right? So on defense, Miners doing a good job of, despite their size, boxing out. So that's phenomenal. I really like that. Also, and you guys mentioned on this, 16 steals. That's great. With their defense, I really like that. If they can continue this intensity throughout the year, well, I think that we'll... It won't be as bad as a watch as it was yesterday.
Yeah, I'm absolutely disgusted. Not with the watch. I'm disgusted with myself. I'm looking at the Inspo Lens feed right now, and my cheeks are huge right now. It's because I got my wisdom teeth pulled yesterday, and I'm just absolutely disgusted with myself right now. But I'm stomaching through this, and I sound fine. It's just when you look at me, I look like a chipmunk. I have puffy cheeks as it is, Sal, but I just looked at myself on Inspo Lens, and I'm like, oh, geez, this is terrible.
Nah, I didn't even know that you had him. You had him taken out. That's crazy. But good thing you did it yesterday and not today, the day right before Turkey Day. I mean, granted, I don't know what the recovery difference is, but you're taking one for the team, man. That's what's up.
You know what? I feel like we've sacrificed a lot, like during holidays, because of the show. And I wasn't willing to sacrifice my time. Like I needed to join Minor Talk tonight because there's a lot to discuss here on the program. 70-44. I got a lot more thoughts here on the game here, but before we get to the phone lines, we got two callers to get to. 915-505-6009. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk right here, brought to you by Jack in the Box on 600 ESPN El Paso.
From hometown to national, sports spoken here. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROT El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
915-505-6009. Today can be determined or concluded as the David Terrell Jr. game. 18 points, 7 of 9 from the floor, 3 rebounds. I thought you were going to go that route, Alberto, and just talk his game and gas him up even more. 2 steals for David Terrell Jr., but was just all over the floor. And more importantly, he was confident in his shot. Zay, this is why you and I, we were so disappointed that we didn't get some David Terrell Jr. stock on our team, because he can go off for games like this, and he controlled the game in such a big way.
Yeah, you know, I need to hit the trade market, try and get, you know, DT on my team because, I mean, what a comeback for him, right? The start of the season has been rough for David Terrell, right? We documented that, an ejection, 2 foul outs in the Division I games, and, you know, just to come out today, and he just looked better all around. You know, his every asset of his game looked polished. He got to the rim really, really easily, and that's what we're used to seeing out of him, right? When he can score, he gets to the rim, and he has, you know, amazing finishing ability. So all around, I'm really happy that David Terrell, you know, showed up. 18 points, you know, a UTEP career high, a career high in general. He even hit a 3.
Yes,
that was nice
yes.
to see.
Well, so I wanted to talk about that 3 with you because 2 possessions before that, he had a wide open look and he didn't take it. I'm like, take it. I'm screaming at the TV, take those shots. He's wide open. It's David Terrell Jr. You're a sophomore now. You're a veteran player. Take the shot. I think when he watches that play on film, he'll realize, oh, I just need to take it. Like, even if I miss it, I just need to take that attempt. The other side to all this with David Terrell Jr. is that his best play in this one was one, again, where he second-guessed himself. He has the ball, and the defender is probably playing him 5 feet off of him, and he wonders what he should do. He goes down low to Hamilton. Hamilton doesn't do anything, and Hamilton pushes it back out to Terrell, and that's when Terrell lights go off, and it's like, okay, wait, I can do this. I've got space right here. He uses the space, drives into the defender. The defender's not even close to him, and he gets an easy layup, and I'm thinking, that's David Terrell Jr. Zay, I think I'm trying to think of player comparisons, and I was doing it throughout this season, and I think I've landed on it. It's Tristan Newton. He's got to be Tristan Newton in order for him to be the best college basketball player he could be.
You know, I just smiled so much because, I mean, you're so right. You know, David Terrell, his ceiling really is Tristan Newton, right? If he puts it all together, he plays like that type of point guard. I mean, wow, you really hit it right on the dot. I love that comparison, and I just wish somebody would tell David Terrell that he's one of the best players on the floor at all times, right? I don't care if UTEP's playing, you know, the University of Texas. David Terrell is always going to be one of the best players on the floor. Just he's just gifted. He knows the game of basketball better than, you know, a lot of other guys. So if he can, you know, just build more confidence in his shot, in his offensive game, and just with himself as a whole, David Terrell could be that player that we, you know, were projecting him to be at the start of the season.
And we had high expectations, and I think rightfully so. You know, he's a player who I think earns those high expectations on him. And I want to talk more about David Terrell. I also want to talk more about the decision for the starting lineup. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but let's welcome on George Guardado on the program here for the first time. George, your initial reactions, you've hung with us for Miner Talks throughout this basketball season. Your initial thoughts after this one, Miners bouncing back, beating Long Beach State after losing yesterday to San Jose State.
Yeah, first of all, no shade to my boy Chris and to my boy Sal for the laugh. I was laughing with y'all. I wasn't laughing at y'all. Believe me. Back to the game. We talked about it before the show started. There were 12 separate instances where the Miners held Long Beach State without a field goal for more than 2 minutes, the longest of which was a five-minute stretch in the first half where Long Beach State, the Beach, didn't get a single field goal to fall. I mean, that is absolutely stifling defense, something that stands out in my mind. Yeah, the shooting wasn't particularly that good tonight, but the defense just cleaned it all up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, defense was the big takeaway and the big standout. We'll get to more questions that are coming in on Twitter next. We'll get to all these calls. We got full phone lines. Let's start it off. 915-505-6009. Carlos is first up with us. Carlos, good evening, man. You're back with us, fresh off a great call yesterday. I don't feel like you need to walk back any comments, Carlos. I just want to defend you because you were saying you needed a little bit more yesterday from David Terrell Jr. And you look at the first three games against Division I opponents, he fouls out of two of them and he's thrown out of one. So I think the expectations to see a better David Terrell Jr. game were there, and he just lived up to them. And that's a sign of a good player right there.
Yeah, man. You know, mama, there goes that man. You know, what a David Terrell game, man. And, you know, when I called in yesterday, I wasn't saying, oh, David Terrell needs to average 15. He needs to be that Tag Hardy. You know, I was just expecting him to come in, make more shots. And, you know, tonight just proved that if this guy's confident in his ability, which he should be because he's a great basketball player, he can do anything on the floor. And, you know, I'm not taking away anything, but it's not like everyone else was having like a barn burner of a game. We scored 70 points, which is roughly our average. So, but I mean, David Terrell just took over at the right times. And I'm hoping that that performance can transfer over tomorrow against UNC Greensboro, who do have some pesky guards that like to face guard really close to the guard. So we'll see how that goes, man.
Okay, give us your full thoughts on this one, full reactions to UTEP defeating Long Beach today, because I led with David Terrell Jr. I'm sure that was going to be some of your points, but give us more of your thoughts from today's
one. Yeah, man, you know, like, I really wasn't going to call in, but I saw David Terrell go off. I was like, I have to do it. You know, it was a
respect.
It was a good game, right? You know, just, you know, these guys putting it together, and, you know, we're hoping that they put it together consistently throughout the year. You know, obviously we're not expecting them to win every single game because that's almost impossible in college basketball, but when they're playing like this and the defense is tenacious, I don't see how they can't win a game that they're expected to win, and, you know, it's just really good. But, yeah, man, I was just kind of blown away by how well David Terrell played.
It's kind of like what he should be playing like. And I appreciate the phone call, Carlos. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for giving us a call. I appreciate you. Your much respect to you for calling in after, you know, I don't think you called him out whatsoever. You just held him accountable. And I think UTEP fans have high expectations of him as well. So credit to you. I appreciate the phone call, Carlos. Thanks for weighing in. I want to digress just real quick, Sal. This was also Long Beach State. It's 70-44 victory. Zay said it earlier. I'll mention it again just to restate it. A good win for UTEP coming off a loss. However, it is Long Beach State, and there's still more to prove, and that includes tomorrow against UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, and it's nice for the Miners defensively because that's what you want to see. That's their bread and butter. And check this out, just for quick numbers, and you said it best right. Hey, Long Beach State 1-6 going into this one. Well, how did they get to 1-6 after being 1-5? That's because they only scored 48 points to Greensboro against Greensboro last night. They only scored 44 points to the Miners. So there's something lacking offensively. That scouting report, was going into effect. That's something that Goldine had mentioned, just kind of learning more about them and game planning for this one. But you're absolutely right, though. It is a Long Beach or the Beach team who's really not that good this year. There's just so much dysfunction going on over there. Tomorrow, though, that's going to be a good one because the last time they played the team who was the Spartans was yesterday. Didn't look so good, but they'll have the Greensboro Spartans tomorrow. And the score for that one, if I can just pull it up right now, as of maybe a couple minutes ago, 16-13, San Jose's leading midway through the first half. But it's not a slow start for either team, getting blown out early. So that's what we don't want for the Miners. You want to see them, if they're not going to score at a high clip, at least don't get scoring on at a high clip in the first 5 minutes.
Well, it's also three games in 3 days, which is another thing to look at here for tomorrow's matchup. But let's go back to the phone. Speaking of three games in 3 days, the man who's been out there for 3 days is our man Sideline UTEP. He is out in Henderson, Nevada. He's covering the Bulldogs Classic after UTEP defeated here in this matchup Long Beach State 70-44. What's going on, Sidelines? How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? First off, I know I was having issues yesterday with my connection stuff. Can you guys hear me? I'm hearing my
Uber. Yeah, you sound
right
great.
Now.
You sound great.
Okay, awesome. No, it was good, a good win. This is exactly what they needed to do today after last night. You know, very disappointing last night, and they just came out and they just fired on all cylinders, man. Defensively, they played south. Love what I saw from David Terrell, man. I think he shut up all his haters last night, man. 18 points, man. That's all you ever really need from him, man. If we can get, a consistent, 11 to 15 points from DT on a daily night, man, that's all we need from him, man. Good win, though. I know the Beach isn't too good of a team, but you can't argue this. I mean, I feel like Golding's teams in the past haven't responded that well from, a disappointing loss. And, seeing a disappointing loss yesterday and them coming out and just kind of just a slow start to the first half, but just dominating the second half and just ended up taking the win, so good for them.
How are they going to go to tomorrow's game and kind of channel that same energy, Sidelines? Because I'm a little, I'm just concerned with the fact that it's 3 games, 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, I think how they should approach tomorrow's game is the same way how they approach the Santa Barbara game. Just start off physical defensively, if you got to give up a little bit of fouls, I think that's probably a good route to go. But they just got to play. They got to play their style of ball. Just start off physical and defensive right off the bat, and I think they'll be able to hold UNCG to, a little less points than what they've been scoring. Just start off fast and physical.
I'll ask you this, Sidelines: is everybody sticking around to watch San Jose and this other game right here, San Jose and UNC Greensboro? Did everybody end up leaving from the UTEP team? Like, while you were leaving the arena, what'd you end up seeing?
I think I saw, I saw all the assistant coaches and the scouting team watching the game from UTEP. As far as, the players and stuff, I did see Trey Horton and David Terrell hang out with their parents. I think their folks came by to support them. I don't think they're watching it. Maybe they'll catch the tail end of the second half, but I didn't see them on my way out.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it anyway, Sidelines. You have a good one out there. Safe travels home, and we'll hear from you tomorrow. All right, man?
Heck yeah. Go Miners, go.
That's Sidelines UTEP. He was joining us next here on the program. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Brian is next up with us. Brian, good evening, man. You're back with us again. What did you think of this one?
I thought this was a pretty interesting result. When the Beach was leading, I just turned off the game and went to go make dinner. But when I come back to Zay's tweet saying now they went on an eight-point run. And then I turned the game back on, and we won. I do want to bring up a point that y'all brought up earlier in that we beat up garbage. It's plain and simple. We beat up garbage right now, but it does lead me a bit into some optimism going forward tomorrow and how we'll face against UNC Greensboro. That I really liked how David Terrell was playing today. A lot of improvement. I guess UTEP News got him to get his shit together, so we'll see how that goes.
Wow.
Anyways, nice
wow.
Talk to y'all later.
All right. Good stuff there. Brian, hang in there, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. That one woke me up over here, Sal. It's all good. We'll keep it moving. 915-505.
It's Thanksgiving in a couple days.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah,
perfect
I know.
Timing.
I know. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Hopefully we don't get inspo lens destroyed off of that one. I'm just kidding. Thank you again for that phone call, Brian. 915-505-6009. I'm just going to speak to some of the fans who live game to game and play to play. There's no need to turn off the game in the middle of a run by Long Beach State. Can we all agree on that? You know, for this UTEP team, they're going to go through dry spells. They're going to go through scoring ruts. George, there's no need to turn off the TV in any of these games with UTEP.
No need, especially in the first half, and especially when it was early. Like, and you could see that UTEP was just getting in the groove. I understand the frustration, especially coming off the San Jose State loss. But yeah, man, keep the TV on, go make dinner, and then just check up on them again. You would have seen a fun game.
Take a walk around the house. Take a walk around the studio if you're with us. That's what some of the people here do. You know what you think, Sal?
Yeah. I mean, it's early on in the game, and if we're being real, against Division I teams, it's really not off course for what they've done. They've really only gotten off to one hot start against a Division I team, and that was Santa Barbara the other day. And also, too, I was thinking about this, and I don't know what you guys think. It's not necessarily a direct comparison, but just kind of looking at it, if we generalize it, against Santa Barbara – they get out to that hot start, and we know it. But the game before that against the Division I, rather, Utah Valley, they get absolutely waxed because they have a slow start, and they're never to gain steam. They never gain steam after that. But if we kind of look at it yesterday, off to a slow start, and then they kind of start to pick things up, and they don't get blown out the water. And I remember saying after the Santa Barbara game on Minor Talk, like, hey, if UTEP can just kind of claw back in it and have themselves a chance, that's going to be kind of, you know, what the people are going to want and what they're going to expect to see. So it's not too far off from there. But what do you guys think? Like, yesterday felt terrible because of the slow start, but they were able to claw back. Do you feel a little bit better seeing that as opposed to what happened in Utah Valley? Or does it not even matter because it's a veteran team and they shouldn't be playing like that to begin with?
Yeah, I would side with that, Sal. This is a veteran group to me. I just have high expectations on I know this is a new team. I know this is, you know, quote unquote, a new team, a team that's still trying to get acclimated with each other. But I still hold this team to a high standard. Like next week against Seattle, I'm sorry, I'm picking UTEP. That's my standard. They've got to beat Seattle. They've got to go out and, you know, win two out of these three in Vegas here for the Ball Dogs Classic. I get San Jose was a bad loss, but I still expect them to beat UNC Greensboro. Zay, that's the expectations I've got on this team.
Yeah, you know, and I think those are fair expectations, right? From what we've seen, the highs of this team, they should be beating teams like UNC Greensboro. They should be beating teams like Seattle. And, I mean, you say the word Seattle, and it's just giving me nightmares to that game last year.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
What was that?
It could be the same thing this time around.
It really is just matchup-based for this team. You know, I think I'm really leaning towards that now. Seeing they're just completely different teams on completely different nights, right? And it really just depends on who they're playing against.
You know what's interesting? The numbers do not back anything up for UTEP. Actually, they really don't. This is such a game-to-game, to your point, Zay, this is such a game-to-game team right now. They went into the Bald Dogs Classic, and I get it, granted it's four games, but they went into the Bald Dogs Classic top 15 in the country in three-point scoring. Yesterday, because of their 33% outing, they dropped to top 50. They were around like 48 today. Right now, as it stands, I just hit refresh after UTEP today shot 33% from beyond the arc again. They're now 69 in the country for three-point percentage. So it's inconsistencies that you're seeing with numbers. Numbers are not adding up right now for UTEP, and that's a sign of a team still searching for its identity. That's okay. It's still okay as you're turning the page from November to December, Sal. It's okay to still be looking for your identity, but it will be – we still will judge them either way. We're going to still judge them on what kind of team they are.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of who are they going up against decent. How are they faring against that type of competition? So in reality, those the numbers where it's positive, aside from turnovers, because we've seen that consistent, it's kind of inflated stats. I mean, we're looking at a pair of Division II opponents, and we're going to see another one near the end of the month as well. So you'll have a better idea in a couple weeks. But that true reflection, I guess, when numbers reflect the team, probably won't come until late January, mid-February, around there.
Yeah, I'm with you completely there, Sal. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Back to the phone lines we go. It's Noel, who's next with us. Noel, good evening. What's going on?
It's good evening. How are you gentlemen doing?
Noel, we're doing all right. Give us your thoughts on this one.
Okay. I have one question. Do you think that the Miners will make the NCAA tournament after this win tonight?
No. I can't tell you they're going to go to the NCAA tournament off a win against Long Beach State.
Okay.
Why would you say that?
Because they looked very good tonight. They won 70-44.
Are you a UTEP basketball fan?
Yes, I am. I went to games during the Don Haskins era. It was the Tim Floyd era. Oh, I am a big-time UTEP basketball fan.
Okay. Noel, I'll tell you this. I can't make a judgment based off a 70-44 win. By that judgment, or by that argument, we would have had the same discussion yesterday, and I would have said, no way, absolutely no chance, because yesterday they lose 71-65 against San Jose State, a team who came into that one 1-5 with a 1-5 overall record. Oh, a lopsided victory in favor for the Miners isn't going to change my opinion on whether or not I think this is an NCAA tournament team. Did I believe this team could go to the NCAA tournament before the season started? Yes. But it's for completely different reasons. The reasons why I believe that is because I think UTEP can actually go into the Conference USA tournament in Huntsville, Alabama, still at this point, still in the season, and end up winning that Conference USA tournament. But all of this is pointless, my friend. All of this right here doesn't matter, Noel, because at the end of the year, this is a one-bid league in Conference USA. UTEP could run the slate in non-conference. They could win every game in conference play in regular season and finish out with a 20-win season, and they could still miss out on going to this, the NCAA tournament when it's all said and done if they're not able to actually go out and win the CUSA tournament.
Yes, sir. That's great. Thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
All right. Good stuff, Noel. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Good string of phone calls right there. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. UTEP News sends us this. Terrell was definitely listening to Miner Talk last night. Oh, Alberto, that favored you.
Yes, it did. That's what I said. Extremely bullish on the Miners. And look, just addressing that last caller, look, if you're that in on the Miners and you were even surprised when Adrian said no, go fly out to Vegas, or if you're in a legal state, go out there and just bet for the Miners to win the CUSA championship if you're that convinced that it's going to happen. Not that we don't believe, it's just that the Miners have a lot of work to put to do before we can say for sure it's going to happen. But I'm definitely extremely bullish on what David Terrell did today. I'm excited. I think I could take it all.
Okay. I like it. Good stuff, man. I'm looking at the future betting odds right now because you opened up the can of worms. UTEP right now plus 1200 in order to win the CUSA championship. That is basketball, by the way. I was looking just to make sure that's not football. That is basketball. Right now, La Tech plus 190, Liberty plus 210. Those are the favorites right now. Western Kentucky right behind them at plus 400. UTEP's the best value right now, plus 1,200. Turn $100 to 1,200 right there. I love that for
what's,
the Miners.
What's Kennesaw's?
Now Sal's really opening up a can of worms. And I'm glad we're going this route. I'm glad we're going to hit this subject right here because this is a great time to talk Conference USA hoops. Kennesaw right now is plus 10,000, okay? So 10-1 odds in order to get that one right there. You talk about value, that is extreme value. And Sal, why are we talking about Kennesaw State in the first place?
The reason why is because Kennesaw did something nice the other day. That's defeating 24th ranked Rutgers, and their intro to Conference USA for football might not be that great, but basketball, as of now, is looking a little promising. And pulling up their schedule, they have one game against a Division II, maybe a Division III. Doesn't even matter, so I won't count that win. But aside from it, even Brian, too. I'm just going to reel off some of these names. Cal Baptist, Abilene Christian, Rutgers. I don't know what Presbyterian is, but I'm guessing they're not Division One. However, if I mention Cal Baptist, they lost that one, rather, 88-84, so a four-point loss. But they beat Abilene Christian, and then they defeat Rutgers. They'll get Irvine next. Kent State, who's respectable in basketball, but I really, really like those odds if they can continue what they've been doing, making a splash early on. Now it's just going to be a matter of, hey, when you're in Conference USA, nobody's going to be the hunted. Everybody's going to be a hunter, and you know, they have just as good a shot as anybody if they get hot.
Okay, now it's time to open up the can of worms with Conference USA, Sal. Let me ask you this. On paper, everything you see, is this a better conference than last year?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Zay, you want to expand? Yeah. You want to expand a little bit on this?
Yeah, you know, I got the opportunity to do a Conference USA preview in the off season, and I mean, I was looking at these teams, and they're really good. Like, they're really solid teams from top to bottom, 1-9, right? All of these teams, you know, they can make, you know, they can sell me on saying we can, you know, run through Huntsville. We can win the Conference USA championship when that time comes. So no easy games this year, you know, in conference play for UTEP, for any team. You know, if you're going to go on the road, especially those road games are going to be especially tough with that travel. So it's going to be a fun conference.
Oh, man. You know, okay, so I'm looking at the teams right now. Let's go through it. Liberty is standing number one right now, 7-1 on the season. I hate this Liberty team. With everything in my body, I can't stand this team. You look at the guys on there, it's like the team, the rec team out there, who shows up to the gym, and they're just like, they look, you know, they come in with the swagger, they're smack talking, and you're just thinking, we're going to run this table. We got these guys. No chance. And then they start hitting threes. And then they start talking smack. And then the guy who's like 5'10 on their team is starting to roast everybody in the backcourt. That's when this team becomes a little scary, Sal. They've got wins right now under their belt against Seattle, Charleston, Louisiana, Kansas State, by the way, and McNeese. You were watching that McNeese game yesterday. Yeah, this is a Liberty squad right now. 7-1 under Coach McKay. They don't want what happened last year to happen again. Last year, they were 18-14, kind of middle of the pack. This time around, they're top in conference.
Yeah, and guess what? They have some guys returning that a lot of people heard their names and got frustrated when they heard their names because they were making plays. Caden Matheny, Zach Cleveland, a guy who splashed. And when it comes to averages, he's tied for fourth, but reporting as fifth. Colin Porter lit it up yesterday.
Hate him. I hate Colin Porter.
Absolutely lit it up. And this is a team that, no pun intended, they can get hot and stay hot. So while we're on the topic of Conference USA, let's open up a bigger can of worms, right? We talked about, hey, the sample size will be a lot greater around January or so. How about this? There's a four-game stretch, and then you top it off with the seventh game being, or the eighth game rather, a different one. You ready for this? When they open up Conference USA, three out of these four games I'm going to mention are at home, and it's three straight and then on the road. Louisiana Tech, Sam Houston, and then New Mexico State. Then they go on the road to take on Liberty. So what's next up until that, you may ask? Well, their seventh game for Conference USA in the month of January, Kennesaw State. Fortunately, it's at home, but what happens after that, you ask? You go on the road to take on Western Kentucky. So January is going to be a beast right out the gate.
Wow.
But that's what you want. If we can see them kind of, you know, roll along in the month of January, we may see, you know, a more cohesive unit.
Yeah, it's just weather the storm, right? Just stay afloat. Weather the storm in January. But you talked about La Tech to start off conference play. All right, we got to talk about this La Tech team. They were picked preseason number one. In my opinion, they're still number one. I don't think Liberty's a better team.
They are undefeated,
than them.
Yeah.
La Tech is 9-0 right now. They have wins against UT Arlington, Massachusetts, Richmond, Southern Illinois. I would say the best win on that schedule, probably Southern Illinois. I mean, maybe Massachusetts when it's all said and done. Yeah, I don't really like those wins right there. Circle, put it in pen. This is must-watch TV. A road game against Memphis. La Tech versus Memphis, December 4th. That will tell you where this team is at. That's their first true test. But guys, I really like this La Tech team. Anybody with some thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a Mickey Mouse schedule. I think Liberty is number one. I think Liberty has
proven.
Wow,
so you think Liberty number one?
Yeah, I mean, they've taken down quality teams, and I'll say this. I do not want to come off as a Liberty fan or anything like that. My first thing, when I open up College Football 25, a new dynasty, I, like, remove Liberty from, like, the universe. Like, they just don't exist anymore.
Independent.
Yeah, but, you know, regardless, I got to give credit where credit's due. This team, this Liberty team, has taken down quality opponents, and right now I think they should be the favorites in Conference USA.
All right. Western Kentucky checks in as a pretty good team, but Sam Houston State, they're still weathering the storm. They're 3-2 so far. They beat Lamar 85-72. They beat Tarleton State, killed Tarleton State 91-62. They have losses to quality teams like Nevada and like Baylor. They play Appalachian State tomorrow. Should be a good game. That's kind of like on their level. Maybe a team that they should beat. But I'm looking forward to that one. Western Kentucky, I just mentioned them, 3-3. They've been so-so.
You know what? I don't want to say completely so-so. I think they've probably had the toughest draw.
Okay,
out
jump
of anybody.
In here.
They opened up against Wichita State. Not a Division II, not an exhibition, straight up against Wichita State. They lose 91-84. Who do they have after that? Grand Canyon.
Quality.
How do they do? 74-72, they lose. So they battle with them. Who did they just lose to today? Oh, a team that's in the same state who's a blue blood, number 8, Kentucky. Then they're going to take on Marshall, who I don't want to say they're the greatest, but they're not the worst. And it's a former Conference USA showdown. We've seen those matchups before. So I think they're, out of everybody, they're the most battle tested. Yeah, they beat Lipscomb. They barely skated by. They route Jackson State and Campbellsville, whoever the hell that is. I have no idea. But I mean, 3-3, having the toughest schedule, in my opinion, I think they're right where they thought they'd be, so to speak.
Middle Tennessee's another good argument there, Sal. I think that's a pretty good case for Western Kentucky. Middle Tennessee's 5-2. Nicholas McDevitt, the head coach over there, the guy who scares me on their team is Justin Porter. He killed UTEP last year. This time around, they're 5-2. They have wins against Ohio, South Florida, Evansville, and Abilene Christian. Their two losses, Murray State and Bradley, on the year right now. Guys, I'm stacking up losses for other teams. Their losses are much better than UTEP's losses. That's the bottom line.
Way better. I mean, UTEP's losses are, you know, to really bad. I'm not going to say really bad teams, but, I mean, most Conference USA would have won those games. Most Conference USA would have beaten San Jose State, and most of Conference USA would have beaten Utah Valley. I mean, UTEP is going to have their work cut out for them come conference play. You know, no doubt about that. And I'm excited. I really am. You know, even though it's a one-bid league, it's going to be probably the funnest one-bid league in. It's going to cannibalize itself. Like, nobody's going to look good at the end of the year. Like, come Huntsville, I doubt that we're going to have, like, a clear favorite for number one.
George Alberto, is this more than a one-bid league?
No. It's not. It's a one-bid league. There are a lot of good teams. I think, to Zay's point, there's going to be a lot of cannibalizing between the teams. I think for UTEP, you start looking in between these losses, and yeah, they're really bad. And I do agree with Zay. Most of Conference USA would have beaten these two teams that we've lost to so far, that UTEP's lost to up to this point. But if they could just clean it up, I think UTEP could hang on the same token with any one of these teams in Conference USA. We saw what they did in the conference tournament last year. I think they have more offensive firepower this year to finish it off. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, like Zay said.
Look, I just want to talk about this. Zay's definitely right. Teams are going to eat themselves. And last year we saw that it was very much a road issue, right? Most teams dropped games on the road, and right here, both of the losses for the Miners are bad losses on the road, right, where you get streaky, and the other team gets really streaky and beats you up, a team you should have beat. So I guess the question to really ask, and all it boils down is this, is how many games are what percentage of the games on the road are the Miners going to win?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a good question because I'm looking at it right now, last year, Sal, we hit this we were on it all season long. We were consistent with this. Home teams last year in CUSA, 52, they won 52 out of the times of that's 72
right.
attempts.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're winning, home teams were winning almost 3/4 of the time. That's so impressive right there. And Alberto's completely right, Sal. If UTEP can just string along a couple of these road victories, you talked about the gauntlet that is January. Well, you started off with three home games. If you can take care of home court and then win a couple on the road, UTEP will be in a perfect place come March.
Yeah, and last year, what propelled them really to that run to get to the title game? It originally started at the end of February at Jack State. It's not the sexiest one, but a couple
right
days after that, they visit Liberty. And they get the win over there. They beat Liberty worse than Liberty beat UTEP at home. The game at home, Liberty won it, but it was a battle. It was a more respectable battle than it was when the Miners visited Lynchburg, Virginia. So that's exactly it, man. It's going to come down to who gets hot at the right time and who can get those wins on the road near the end.
I agree completely on that one. 915-505-6009. Couple other post to get to on social media. I think we hit CUSA pretty well. We have to do another check-in in about a month, so somebody needs to put the calendar invite and say, hey, we'll check on this in a month from now and see if we still feel the same way. There's no chance, for two bids, right? Let's just hammer that home. No chance for two bids.
I mean, like, unless Liberty runs this table non-conference, right? They literally don't lose again, and they, like, dominate conference play. They go to the Conference USA Championship and, like, lose on a heartbreaking buzzer beater, then I'd say no. Like, that's just how it is.
That's just how it is. Last year, they were about 15th, like, middle of all college basketball. They were ranked 15th out of KenPom out of 33 conferences. This year, if they're closer to 11, 12, I think that's probably a fair spot for them when it's all said and done. However, it doesn't make them a one. It doesn't make them a two bid league whatsoever. This is still a one bid league when it's all said and done. But to Alberto's earlier point, if you're feeling a little frisky in terms of UTEP betting, maybe place that futures bet at some of those sports books that might take it. UTEP plus 1,200. Say that you heard it on Minor Talk. Plus 1,200 as far as the odds I'm looking at right now. Maybe, who knows, maybe they'll switch. But either way, that's what I'm seeing right now. 915-505-6009. Brian tweets into the program. Good win. Sadly, it was a win against a garbage team, and I don't like our odds going into UNC Greensboro, but I hope these boys prove me wrong. Pick my axe, 915. A win is nice, but consistency would be the best thing to happen to men's basketball. I agree. Manny David at Garcia_25. Way to turn it around for UTEP men's basketball. Great game by David Terrell. Hopefully they could keep the momentum going and get another win tomorrow night. Hashtag Minor Talk. A couple other posts to get it to. Manny, this is from Tristan Pence. Welcome back, David Terrell Jr. David Terrell was the difference maker. UTEP rebounded well as a team tonight. Let's hope tonight's version of the Miners show up tomorrow against a very tough UNC Greensboro team. Sal, I mean, the other part to this is UTEP out-rebounded Long Beach State tonight. I know it's quote-unquote a garbage team, like some of our listeners want to say, but UTEP did not out-rebound UT Permian Basin. That's a Division II opponent right there, and UTEP was able to do so and win the rebound margin tonight.
It's interesting, and it's kind of like, what is the context behind it for me? And the reason why I say that is because, sure, they out-rebound Long Beach State, but it really just came from the offensive glass because they were missing their shots. So it's kind of like a glass half full, glass half empty for me. They were able to cash in on those, don't get me wrong, but their defense is their bread and butter. They got to be able to seal the deal and get the ball back when they're not stealing it. So it's kind of like if they're not forcing a turnover – The other team's either getting the rebound or they're making their bucket. That wasn't the case tonight, so I want to see how this can be how this goes into the next game. Greensboro is going to be a far superior rebounding team than the Beach was tonight, but they attacked the offensive glass, and that's what people were asking them to do before as well. So can't have it all, but they were able to show that sense of urgency and just say, hey, if it's there, we're going to take it. Bullying them in the paint, and they out, of course, today they got more points in the paint than the Beach. So a lot of positives right there, but you do want to see it on the defensive side too.
Hey, speaking of positives, I love this positive you sent me. According to ESPN, UConn basketball is the fifth ranked team in AP poll history to lose by 2 points or less on back-to-back days, and the first since Michigan dropped one-point games to UTEP and Texas Tech back in December of 1983. Yeah. Love that one.
That's nice. No, I was just scrolling through through Twitter and saw that there, and it's at CFB Home, so that's how big this is. UConn loses two games in a row, two close games, mind you, and it makes it to College Football Home on Twitter. College basketball on college football. Love it.
All right, Zay, I'm putting it on you. Social media prowess, you got to be the one who starts to be the one to resurrect and to remember these 80s basketball teams that UTEP had, man. They were just amazing. Like, you start to check out these rosters, check out these wins, check out the teams who used to come to the Don Haskins Center. We're not talking about Long Beach Day. We're not talking about UNC Greensboro. Miners used to be perennial powers in college hoops, and I feel like sometimes we get away from that because of poor play we've seen in the past, because of a 15-year drought in the NCAA tournament that the Miners are currently undergoing. But this was a perennial powerhouse out of the mid-major ranks in the past.
I mean, yeah, it was. And I do a lot of research on Basketball Reference, Wikipedia, on these random 80s teams, right? And this 1983 team is probably the most fascinating. That, like you said, doesn't get talked about enough because they were so good. Like, they were really, really good. I have a post on them on UTEP Zay, and it's really, like, going in-depth. And it was a disappointing ending, right? UTEP was fifth in the nation at some point in 1983, and they ended up bowing out in the first round of UNLV in the NCAA tournament. So
very good UNLV team, mind you.
Yes, a really, really good UNLV team led by, what's his name, Coach Jerry
Tark?
Yeah, Coach Tark. Yeah. So, I mean, nonetheless, it was a disappointing ending. They went 27-4 in the regular season. They were dominant by all accounts, and that Michigan win is just one of many, you know, really, really good wins on that resume.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. We need to celebrate more 80s basketball teams here in town. Yeah.
Real quick, too, because I heard it on the broadcast. Speaking of Jerry Tark, one of many coaches that went through the coaching ranks of, and I'm going to say the name because that's what they weren't known as back then, Long Beach State.
Wow.
How about that? Coached at Long Beach State right before going to UNLV. So he was parlaying high school to community college to Long Beach State, then to UNLV, then to the Spurs, you know what I mean? So it wasn't too far from us. I think he wanted El Paso to be right in the middle so that way he could be, you know, a quick flight, whether it be Vegas or San Antonio. So that's what it was.
Freddie Banks, Danny Tark, Ed Catchings, Richie Adams, great UNLV basketball squad. So good stuff. I love remembering those kind of moments, especially because none of us lived through them. So it's good when we can relive them and appreciate them. We understand and appreciate the history of UTEP basketball, and that's part of the reason that fuels us to do it. So Adrian at Enemy Win 3 checks in. Adrian, I went to bed early yesterday. I didn't hear your fantasy picks. Can you go over them again? Of course we can. I went with Otis Frazier III, Trey Horton, and KJ Thomas. Sal went with Corey Camper Jr., Kevin Kalu, and Elijah Jones. Alberto Retta went with David Terrell Jr., Derek Hamilton, and Baylor Hebb. Zay went with Ahmad Bynum, Devin Barnes, and then he has like a hybrid. And today his hybrid was Babacar, who ends up playing 2 minutes off the bench tonight. Alberto, where are we going tonight as far as winners? Because he asked, can you tell us who won tonight? I think you won.
Well, I don't know. I definitely had the player of the game, but I think that it's definitely going to be hard to, like, figure a point scoring and like, how to figure who won. Look, if you add up plus and minuses, which it doesn't really account for because there's some guys that have no points and their plus and minuses are super high, and it's like, well, that's not fair. If you add up plus or minuses, the winner of today – Sal, believe it or not, with 36 points.
And he probably won yesterday, too.
Yeah. You know, it's just a silent killer. That's all it is. No, I'll say this. I know that there's, you know, there's not going to be a lot of big-time numbers that are going to pop up. But I can say the guys are going to get minutes unless they get in foul trouble. That's a guarantee. Like Campers, I know that wasn't the case tonight. He didn't have the most minutes, but he averages the most minutes. And Kalu's going to be out there barring any foul trouble. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking for. And then for Jones, that's the experiment, man. Experimental EJ.
I'm just mad. I'm a little upset that you know my guys didn't step up today. But hey, you know what? I feel good about this. Zay, we got to get a scoring system down though. I don't know. We got to figure something out.
We really do. And like I said, I'm in the trade market. Like, does anybody want Devon Barnes and Ahmad Bynum? I mean, does anybody want them? And it's no hate to them. Like, I liked them on my team. But I'm always looking to improve, right?
Oh, man. Ready to sell the stock. Like, he's ready to sell the stock on both guys.
I'll package them, a package deal for both of them for one really, really good player and one of your, you know, guys that you don't think will contribute. You know, so hey, I'm just saying the offer is out there. I am in the trade market.
Oh man, Zay's already on the trade market.
It's not even 24 hours old.
He's already like Devon Barnes comes off the bench for one game and he's like, how can I trade him, guys? How can I get him off my team? Oh man, this is fun. 915-505-6009. We'll figure out Adrian at Enemy Win 3. We'll figure out something more concrete. We were supposed to do this like first game of the season, so I'd even want to go back and recap some of the other matchups so far to see, you know, who's in the lead. What we're looking at, maybe we look at, you know, best overall player and we just award that to whoever's got that player. But I don't know. We'll figure it out. Either way, it's fun. We're each picking three players, four of us. George, you weren't here yesterday, but we'll just sub you into my team so you can, you know, feel some glory and feel some wins here coming up soon enough. But regardless, it was a lot of fun to just pick out our players, and now we're going to have to roll with them for the rest of the season in our quote-unquote fantasy minor talk league. So That's what we're talking about right now. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. All right, guys, I think we're starting to wind down here on the program. So let's go to some superlatives. Let's go to some awards, and then we'll get some final thoughts from everybody here on the program as we wind it up here tonight. And I appreciate everybody listening to us and hanging with us here on the program as we continue. Before I continue, I do want to give a big shout out to Inspo Lens. And by the way, Inspo Lens is currently broadcasting us live on YouTube, on Twitter. And if you're looking for a fresh perspective on stories that inspire, well, check out InspoLens.com. This innovative website is dedicated to spotlighting the uplifting stories through video that don't always make the headlines. From personal triumphs to groundbreaking innovations, Inspo Lens brings you the positivity and motivation you need. Whether you're interested in human resilience, community heroes, or simply want to start your day with something inspiring, Inspo Lens has it all. Visit InspoLens.com. See the world through an inspiring eyes. Positive storytelling, education, and action for good. Inspo Lens is your El Paso documentary website. New stories out soon enough. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Guys, tonight, UTEP defeats Long Beach State 70-44. Let's start it off with our Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award. Alberto, I'm going to let you pick this one. You went out on a limb and you said, you know, player of the game, and I agree with you. It's David Terrell Jr. But let's start off with Wind Supply El Paso's Hot Hand Award. Where are we going here for the Hot Hand Award recipient after this one?
I don't know. I was really inclined to go with Devon Barnes for his 4 of 5 from the free throw, even though he didn't shoot that good from the rest of the field. But it's hard. I don't know. What do you think? There's a couple more guys. I got a couple more shots up.
Well, I asked you. Where are you going here?
I would have gone. I'd like to reward a Devon Barnes. I'd go Devon Barnes.
Okay, Devon Barnes, hot hand of the game. Interesting pick right here. 7 points, 1 of 6 from the floor. You could have gone a little Ahmad Bynum, who hit a trio of threes, or you could have maybe even went Corey Camper, who went 5 for 10 from the floor. But we'll stick with Barnes, doing it from the charity stripe, coming off the bench, by the way. 3 fouls to steal in 14 minutes of action. +9, by the way, when you're talking plus minus. So he will be our hot hand of the game. That's brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. You could stay on schedule with Wind Supply of El Paso. Home builders make them the trusted HVAC system supplier. Check them out online, windsupplyelpaso.com, for rebates. Check them out for their success stories and hit the Find a Dealer tab. You can check out the champion dealers they've got. That's windsupplyelpaso.com. Guys, just to quickly touch on it, they changed up the starting lineup tonight, and it's important to talk about Devin Barnes. He comes off the bench tonight. Zay, they say that it was because they didn't want Barnes to foul out too quickly, but as soon as he stepped in the game, he racked up a pair of fouls on his side. So they're still trying to figure out what to do with Barnes. That's the big point about it. They also mentioned how Otis Frazier III, dealing with a bit of a leg injury, and then also Kevin Kalou dinged up his ankle during warm-up. So Miners definitely feeling it after coming off two games back to back, now having to play a third one tomorrow.
I'm really surprised that UTEP has been really, really lucky with health the past couple of years, and I mean it catches up to you the way that UTEP plays. It's such a physical, it's a grinding type of play style that I expect a lot of injuries, and this is, no different. They're playing three games in 3 days, and three, solid teams. I wouldn't say solid, but three Division I teams is still, going to be a bit of an effort. So, yeah, it's good to see that, other guys stepped up, like, Ahmad Bynum hitting those three threes was huge. Corey Camper looked really, really nice in that second half. Four steals for him. So, all around, guys stepped up. Even KJ Thomas stepped up when he needed to. It's nice to see that. It's that depth that we were expecting throughout the year. It's really coming into play now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're starting to see them flex their depth. And that's what, they're going to have to lean on it tomorrow, especially because of all the guys kind of getting a little gas. So, let's go over to our player of the game. It's going to David Terrell Jr., no question about it. 18.7 of 9 from the floor. He hit a three-pointer tonight, his first of the season. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. George, when you talk about David Terrell Jr., fans yesterday, you weren't with us, but fans yesterday were a little disappointed in just the totality of his season. He sure redeemed himself tonight with a player of the game type performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he stepped up to the plate when the adversity was knocking at his door, right? I mean, he was finally feeling the heat. I'm not going to say that the fans' frustration with him was unjustified. I totally get it. But he's a sophomore, and it's the beginning of the season. I'm not saying that we're going to get 7 of 9, 18 points David Terrell every game, but if he's within this ballpark, of shooting around 50% from the floor and at least 35% from three, my God, I'll take that every single day. And he just has to play with confidence. You saw it today. He played with confidence, and he was by far and away the best player on the floor.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I mean, dude, two-way style, David Terrell did it. Player of the game tonight, that's brought to you by the Oscar Arrieta Allstate Agency. They're providing insurance solutions to El Paso for over 27 years. That's experience you can trust with the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Check them out online, oscararietaagency.com. Click the Hometown Hero button. You can check out past hometown heroes who have been awarded during the UTEP men's basketball games. And if you know somebody that is deserving of being honored as the next hometown hero at the next UTEP game, check it out online, oscararietaagency.com/hometownhero, and you can nominate somebody today. Guys, we are turning the page. It's tomorrow, and it's UNC Greensboro. This team is 3-2, the Spartans of on the season. Sal, do you have a scoring update for us for San Jose State?
I'm pulling that up. I have like 20 tabs, but I got you.
Okay, got you. UNC Greensboro on the season, by the way, they have a stellar defense. They hold opponents to shooting less than 45% from the floor on effective field goal percentage. They also hold opponents to shooting lower than 30% from beyond the arc. They're one of the best perimeter defending teams that you're going to find in the country. So this team, just like UTEP, loves to pride themselves on defense, Sal, as we look over to the San Jose matchup.
Yeah, and this one, Adrian, right now they are trailing San Jose State 32-22, and it's 1 minute into the second half. So no offensive spark for the Spartans, the Greensboro Spartans, that is, early on or midway through the game and early on in the second half.
Okay, well, let's see what happens there for UNC Greensboro. But nonetheless, the Miners have them tomorrow. Zay, keys to the game for this one is, you look at UNC Greensboro on paper, what do you see from them, and what are the keys for the Miners?
Well, you know, the biggest key for me is get off to a decent start, right? I think every Miner fan can agree with that. The way that UTEP has started, the one division one game they started good was the Santa Barbara game. We know how that goes. They hold on to win. And then those two other bad starts, even today was a bad start. Obviously, they were able to get back on track, but get off to a good start and play physical. You got to be physical, especially with your guards, right? David Terrell, Corey Camper, Trey Horton.
Corey Chapman. I like it.
I'm thinking about football here. I can't wait until the Battle of Lights end. But Ahmad Bynum, guys like that, they need to be physical, right? They need to get down and dirty in the paint. You know, fight for those rebounds, fight for those loose balls. It's going to be those little things that will really pay dividends in, you know, the third game of three straight.
Yeah, I mean, and for the Miners, again, my expectation is to win, Alberto. They got to win this matchup right here, even though this team on paper, UNC Greensboro coming in, maybe with a little bit more prowess than the Miners. Miners, according to Sidelines, who texted me this, are currently 1.5-point favorites going into tomorrow's matchup.
No, yeah, you definitely expect the Miners to win, especially after the performance they put on today. But, you know, what I'm expecting or hoping that the Miners can do in this next or slash final game of the Baldog Classic is continue to, you know, establish those guys that are going to come off the bench, establish or, you know, work to establish Kevin Kalu's shot, reestablish Kevin Kalu's shot, continue to get guys minutes that are not going to maybe get minutes into conference play, and also try to eliminate the streakiness of your game, because if you live by the streak, you're going to die by the streak. If you want to play well into that conference tournament and in the conference tournament, you don't want to be worrying about going cold and having teams go red hot on you, because that's hard to stop and that's hard to rally, especially in playoff scenarios.
George, I'm going to give you the final words here tonight as we wrap it up. Your keys for tomorrow's matchup.
Yeah, obviously the guard play is important. Sal mentioned the offensive rebounds today. UTEP 13, right, compared to 4. That, a lot of that's energy, and yeah. I'm not going to take anything away from that. If they can keep that energy up tomorrow, and I can see them being competitive on the boards, but I really, really like Devin Barnes and KJ Thomas running point on offense in the half court. It just seemed to flow a lot better. The offense was a bit more efficient when they have the ball, and Camper and Terrell and Bynum can look to score.
Good thoughts. Good thoughts. Sal, I lied. I'm closing it out with you. Give me your final thoughts going into tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to see them use that athleticism on offense without the ball. I think guys are a little bit stagnant when they don't have the ball, and they're just too quick and too fast to be sitting out there. I want to see that half court, if not established, you know what I mean, at least try to establish it. And today they kind of made up for that lack of offensive motion by attacking the glass. They're making up for it there, but don't get out to a slow start because of a lack of offense. Make offense a priority. Your defense is going to be there. You're going to be, what is it, 90 feet, whatever the distance is, 90-something feet all game. It's time to play some offense. It's year 4 in the system.
Yeah, that's time. It's time. And the three-point scoring has been there this year. I think my key is hit some three-pointers tomorrow and win it to do it in Las Vegas. So let's see if it happens. It's happening tomorrow, UNC Greensboro versus UTEP. We'll have it for you, 600 ESPN El Paso. Earlier tip-off, by the way, 5:30 start, and we'll have it for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. But for George Guajardo, for Inspo Lens, for Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broad. It's Full House tonight. We'll be back in action tomorrow as Miner Talk continues right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.